He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello and welcome once again, it is so good to be together with you all today. Welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I am your host, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live from San Leandro, California, as I do every week. I hope you're all ready for an awesome weekend, because today is Friday, March 22nd, 2012. Oh, man. Yeah, I tell you, today is going to be one of the most unbelievable shows you will ever hear. I mean, I've done shows like this before where people are like, oh, Matt, you actually said that? Yeah, I actually said that. Or, Matt, you actually went there. That's real talk, man. That's real talk, dog. Yeah, I went there. Today, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to take you guys places on the most riveting topics and forms that you would ever hear. Because everybody knows how opinionated I am. I am so sick of this. I can't believe... We've got DDP in the chat room. He's been there the whole time, even before we went live. Yes, you can chat with me and DDP and everybody else that's in here. Before we go live, we were chatting it up before we went live. And it's so crazy because, I mean, I'm not happy about sports. I am happy because, you know, it's 1 o'clock here in the afternoon. Others of you that are catching my show live right now, since most of the rest of you are all like a few or many states away, it's like 3 o'clock for you guys. I know DDP's in Texas. What time is it over there in Texas, DDP? I'm happy because just about 20 minutes ago, like around 12:30 or a little after 12:30 p.m. here. This is for my pal Craig. I got my new bed just about 20 minutes ago. I'm loving it. I can't wait. Very, very comfortable. Well, it's not very, very comfortable. It's very average comfortable, but it'll do. It'll do. I can't wait. Going to sleep on that thing tonight. Booyah! But that's the only thing that I'm happy about. Well, I'm happy about being alive and being with you guys, but the world of sports is not making me happy. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot to get to. I mean, this is the big one right here. Now, case in point is that the NFL is really, really, they missed the point battle with the NFL Players Association over personal team doctrine. Now, you're going to hear a lot of stuff about the NFL today, and so much is going on. And you're not going to believe what's happening with wrestling when we get there. I'm telling you, be prepared. This is going to be one hell of a roller coaster ride. Because I tell you, as we welcome guest 5242 into the chat room, because today we're going to be talking about the buyer. I know everybody, you're probably thinking, you've probably been thinking all week as I put the show together. I put the show together on Wednesday every week, that way I can get ready for Friday. Sometimes I do it on Tuesday, if I have time. I mean, the NFL owners meeting was this past Wednesday. We're going to talk about what happened in that very, very important and controversial meeting with things that took place in the NFL. Did you hear? Who the Florida Marlins? You know, they're still the Major League Baseball team that changed their name a few years ago. Yeah, those guys. You're not going to want to believe who the hell they sued or are trying to sue. Well, it sounds like a celebrity contingency, but I can assure you, I can guarantee you, when we get to that story, they're not celebrities, they're not even famous. But the Florida Marlins want to sue these people, and you're going to hear about who that is a little later on. But if you're a true baseball fan, then you know what the hell that's all about. And you know, how is wrestling looking? WrestleMania looking as we go appear to the end of the month and get ready for WrestleMania in April. Don't even start jumping to May. Don't do that shit. We're going to talk about the stupid remark that Michael Cole said on Raw. Ugh. Just absolutely pitiful. Absolutely. It's crazy. But here we go. We're going to get right into this. You heard me mention a little earlier on that the Players Association and the NFL continue their long public fight Tuesday about, you know, guys from the NFL wanting to bring their own team doctors. The NFL shot back at the NFL Players Association's criticism of team doctors by having San Francisco owner Dr. John York defend the honor of the many physicians the league has employed. He said there's no one in the NFL that's seen the survey, referring to the survey that the union discussed on February 1st. The union said that 78% of the players did not trust team doctors. However, the union has not given any background on the science of the actual survey that they gave. Yet, Dr. John York says he's seen the survey. Don't you just hate that when one person has valid proof of something, and then an organization or somebody else in charge of an organization says, what? No, we haven't done that. There's no proof to that. Come on, and I don't know why the NFL keeps playing these kind of games, but then again, they are in the gaming business, right? Quite frankly, nobody knows what the questions were, or how have no idea how many players were asked or what the responses were. York said, who is the chairman of the NFL's Health and Safety Advisory Committee. He said, what I can tell you is that in speaking with our head athletic trainers, who are very close to our players, and those of you who have contact with the 49ers, know some of the relationship between our head athletic trainer and our players, and see the collegial relationship. He knew nothing of the survey, hadn't heard about it. The NFLPA's response to York's comments were predictably argumentative, coming from the organization that denied Joe Montana workers' compensation benefits for years. We all know that. we are not concerned about the remarks of our play, about our player survey. National Football League Association spokesman George Atalas said. He said, well, the day the NFL commits itself to taking care of players who have been injured at work, it's the day we begin to take these types of comments seriously. See what a spokesperson does for the NFL? That basically tells me, and probably tells you guys that are tuning in, thank you, by the way, where is the actual care and concern of the NFL? The NFL players, the people that play for you, because it's eventually going to get back to the buyers. That's us. Who buy tickets to go to your games, buy your merchandise, and on top of that, make you very, very, very wealthy indeed. I mean, it's crazy. If you don't believe me how crazy it is, I'll read the statement again. NFL spokesperson George Atalas said, the day the NFL commits itself to taking care of players who have been injured at work is the day we begin to see to take these types of comments seriously. The second thing about that tells me is you're not taking it seriously. Mr. Georgia Tower, whoever you are for the spokesperson for the NFL, take my message back to Roger Goodell. Tell him I'm the spokesperson for the fans. That you better take this seriously. The problem for the league is that arguing over the merits of the survey ignores actual reality. Because it's rare any group of employees will have trust with the company doctors for an extended period of time, which is why they've been wanting and demanding their own personal doctors go with them on the road and at home games. Rather than adopt a practice that might bridge the trust issue, such as making second opinions with the doctors of a player's standard operating procedure, the league has, of course, fallen to the union's rhetorical trap. Then again, based on your comments, the league may not really understand the issues when asked about making second opinions mandatory. They are optional for now, for players, that is. York was seemingly perturbed. He noted that 40% of all players currently get a second opinion, but didn't seem to realize that requiring it might remove doubt in case where a team doctor could be wrong, a.k.a. an issue that is far more damaging long-term effects on trust than what people think or perceive of, people that work in the NFL, that is. That's particularly an issue in a profession that requires so much more medical attention for employees, which, in substandard relation, that's bullshit. Okay, that is strictly bullshit. York further on went on to say that if you're saying that everybody has to go through this, doesn't that make the system less efficient? He said, I don't see the value in doing that. And you know what? He's absolutely right. They can't even actually say whether they know or not if half of their physicians are even qualified. Wait. You're talking about the world's biggest organization, the NFL, right? Isn't that what I'm talking about? Yes. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So why are they making it seem like they won't be able to afford any of this? That they can't afford to actually do? Wait a minute. Are they saying they can't? They haven't been doing background checks on the doctors that they've hired for years? Because if that's what's going on here, then if I'm an NFL player, I'm damn sure going to bring my own personal doctor with me. You can fire me, suspend me, fine me, whatever the hell you want to do. But I will bring my own personal doctor if your doctors aren't even actually qualified. Are you guys getting this? There is potential. potential to serious injury if you're not doing background checks on your own damn doctors. What the hell? I mean, that would be like my boy in the chat room, DDP. If they told him, well, you can't bring your own personal doctor with you. We have our doctors that are, you know. In other words, it's like saying, well, they're kind of qualified to do the job, and they're kind of not qualified. And when pressed on the issue, this is, you know, Mr. York again, putting the pressure on the NFL, he told them in a conference call last week, he said this to the NFL. He said, don't all of you have the ability to get a second opinion when you go to the doctor anyway? Do you have the ability? Do you? How many times do you use abilities to get a second opinion from a team doctor or an NFL player's personal doctor? Of course, York also rushed through the fact that most people there have seen a doctor of their own choosing. In that case, there is a trust factor between a doctor and a patient that may not exist between a doctor and a player. Ooh. How do you like them apples? I tell you. I don't get it. But here we go. More NFL news. This one's just hot off the press. Just this morning, this was just reported. Just brand new news that I am just now bringing in. That I found 30 minutes before we went live. And and 20 minutes before my bed came. My new bed that I will sleep on tonight. I'll be able to get some damn sleep. Coffee is in the chat room. Coffee said, I don't trust doctors. It's why I don't waste my time seeing them. Well, Coffee, I then again, Coffee, you actually do have a point. Yeah, you never know. I mean, my doctor, I've been seeing him for years. I know that they've done a background check on him. I know that he knows what the hell he's doing. Because he's always, you know, giving himself third, second, and fourth opinions on what should happen and what should not happen with me, personally. But I understand what you mean, yeah. Some of these doctors, even the doctors that we as citizens, some of them may not even have full background checks on them. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard about it, but it happened here in California. It was huge news all over California, but I'm sure you guys heard about it. It probably went viral on the internet. Who knows? But there was a doctor in L.A. that was performing surgeries, yet he didn't really know what the hell he was doing. He had to ask a nurse. He asked the head nurse, who should have been the surgeon, not him, how actually do you do a surgery? Where's the heart at? I don't want to cut the heart. Then they found out he was a practice doctor in L.A. a few years ago. So that's why it's important, not just for us as citizens, but more importantly for the NFL, to actually start doing background checks on their own doctors if they want to have this argument about whether or not a player can bring his own personal doctor. Because this whole argument is about trust. Exactly, Coffee. Exactly. Oh, boy. And like I said, back to where we were at. Let's get back into this before I get too distracted by Coffee. Just messing with you, pal. But like I said, this is just brand new, hot off the internet just a few hours ago. Ted Johnson was hosting his viral internet radio show last night. Ted Johnson called Vince Wilfork's wife ugly. You don't ever do this. Dang. I go to the depths and find stories for you guys to hear and listen and stuff to sink your teeth into, but nothing like this. What did I say at the top of the show? I'm going to take you places and say things that you're going to be like, well, I've heard Matt do this before. Wow, I couldn't believe what Matt just said. And it's going to be like that, starting right now. Because when it comes to athletes and sports media members, there is and should be only one ironical rule that you never, ever violate in print or on the airwaves. You never, ever speak poorly of a disparage about another man's wife. That guideline should really go without saying. But, well, Coffee, try that. Try telling that to former New England Patriots linebacker Ted Johnson when he completely stepped over the line when he recently said on his Houston radio show last night that current Patriots lineman Vince Wilfork, well, bro, let me tell you like this, homie. He said, you got the ugliest wife in the NFL. What? Why would you say that? You used to play with this guy on the same team. Just because you're not on the same team, don't play for the Patriots together anymore? But, you know, he's the one that did say that and mentioned Vince Wilfork and his wife. But I don't know if you want to blame all the blame on him, to put everything on him. You know what? I've got it, Johnson said on a CBS Houston caller. Because the caller is the one who actually started this whole thing. The caller asked him to identify an NFL player with the least attractive wife. And there's an audio clip for it, too. I mean, I'll share it with you all in the chat room after the show goes off the air. And this is a big, big man, mind you. This guy had his way with the Texans this year. And the big man, of course, I'm talking about is Vince Wilfork. And you might think, well, if this was the old days, if this was the 70s or 80s, there is no way that Vince would ever hear about this. Oh, but the thing is, you know, people again say, well, there's no way Wilfork, who played for the 2004 New England Patriots team with Johnson, that there'd be no way to hear that awful response. Yeah, right, not in this day and age with, you got sports blogs and Twitter and all this, all kinds of social media. There's even new social media websites coming up, Coffee. I'm sure you've seen them, DDP, everybody else. And once he did, let's just say that Johnson was lucky. Wilfork didn't decide to book the next flight to Houston to teach him a thing or two about respect. But would anyone here have blamed him if Wilfork forcibly fed Johnson his own microphone? You know, in other words, a piece of his own medicine? Wilfork instead took to Twitter to point out just how wrong Johnson was. This is Vince Wilfork. He said, hey, Ted, you're barking up the wrong tree. I hear and see everything. You motherfucker. Dang, it's really on Twitter. You can go to Twitter and find Vince Wilfork and you can follow him or respond to his tweet, whatever you want to do, but it's there. Just put on this morning. It's really a shame that Wilfork was put in this position. Bianca Wilfork, his wife, has always been very public and has always had a supporting role in her husband and supports him fully. Even if he is an NFL player, she has admitted over the years that she is worried about something seriously happening to him, but she's still supporting him. And not only that, the couple runs the Vince Wilfork Foundation, which raises money for diabetes research. She may not fit society's traditional definition of beautiful, because, well, she's really not. But she's clearly beautiful to the only person whose opinion matters the most, the big, big, tall guy. Her husband, Vince Wilfork. After seeing Wilfork's angry tweet, Johnson, just an hour ago, heard about it, took to Twitter, and, well, he tried to apologize, Coffee. Can you imagine that, guys? But as people at the Larry Brown Sports Show will tell you, some radio show, I guess, on the airwaves, they said on their show it was much too late. His original comment was despicable, and there's not enough sorry in the world to make up for what he said. Dang. Exactly, Coffee. I mean, just like the title said, you don't ever, ever, ever mention something like this about another man's wife. You just can't do it. You know, I guess it's true what they used to teach us in elementary school, right, guys? If you can't say something nice, don't say it at all. I mean, sometimes you do have rights to say stuff, but not about this. Not about this. Don't ever cross that line. Because he's lucky that Johnson didn't decide to get on the damn plane and go to Houston and show up at his house. I mean, come on. They know where each other lives. It's not like they're complete strangers. Oh, boy. But, yes. Other things are... Now, before we go to commercial break, I don't really want to talk about it, but it has to be mentioned. Because I would tell you guys, if something big happens, I will follow up with it, and I'm going to do that right now. I don't want to, but that's what I told the world that I would do it, and I'm going to do it right now. On Wednesday, the NFL owners, they had their owners meeting. They had a meeting about everything that affects the NFL, and even stuff that stupidly doesn't even affect the NFL at all. But on Wednesday, the rules that I talked about last week that they were thinking of changing, the tuck rule / helmet rule, they passed it. They passed it, and I don't know why. I will never understand this. This is a culminating day in history for them to do something right, and they do it completely wrong. The NFL, because they said that the NFL is concentrating, we're concentrating on player safety. Concerned with how it will be officiated, they ruled on it, they passed it, but they don't even know how it's going to be officiated. Because Bill Belichick, you know, the New England Patriots head coach, and John Mara, the owner of the New York Giants, these were the only two guys that blurted out in the meeting on Wednesday, wait a minute, how is this going to be officiated? I mean, what signals are we going to tell the referees to use? We have enough hand motion for the referees as it is. You guys are just like Congress. You're passing law, but you don't know how to actually change the law. They changed the tuck rule. Remember I said last week that the tuck rule basically means that they want to protect players by they're now telling them that starting next year, you will now have to lower your head to protect yourself and other NFL personnel, you know, the guys that you're playing with. But remember I said last week that when you do that, you're basically sending the player in blindfolded. How is he supposed to look where he's going? Okay, Roger Goodell, you want me to put my head down, even though I've got a helmet on, you want me to put my head down and just run through the line of scrimmage and run past defenders like nothing's going to happen? Coffee, let me just say. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to take a pause here. I know this is not a video game show, but sometimes it is. I've seen the commercial of that game. I saw the demo of that game at Best Buy last week, man. I want that game. I've never played any Tomb Raider titles because none of the titles impressed me enough. But this one, you just might have to buy this for me for my birthday, Coffee. Yeah, that would be an awesome game to play. But right now, the simple equation is that they're trying to say that, no, it actually means that we want the helmet used for protection. We don't want it used as a weapon. Because this was all because of Broncos coach John Fox. He said that he believes passing the rule will make it a huge challenge for players, but at the same time, he said they will adopt. They always have in the past. And they will moving forward. The owners' meeting also outlawed pill back blocks anywhere on the field. You can no longer do that. Because previously, it was even more illegal. Only the outside tackle box player could play that area. Actually, that means, to simplify it for you, the tackle box is, you know, why all the players sit on the bench. That's where the tackle box position is. A player must now make a peel-back block when he is moving toward his goal line, approaches an opponent from behind or on the side. It must make contact below the waistline. Anything below where you can, well, they're not saying, you know, tackle your opponent or your teammate in the crotch. No, they want you to do it just below the stomach. They're not telling you to tackle him in the crotch area. They just said, just make contact below the waist. That is the new rule. And if you do it the old way, or if you only do it outside the tackle box, they made the rule, and they voted on this at the owners' meeting, that the penalty will be 15 yards. Really, under no circumstances will you be permitted to ever block low below the waist when you're blocking the back toward your own inline, said Rams coach Jim Fisher, who happened to also be co-chairman of the competition committee. Also now banned is overloading a formation when attempting to block a field goal or extra point. What? Oh, tell me I didn't just read that. I didn't even read the full story, but now that we're on the air, defensive teams can now only have 6 or less players on each side of the snap at the line of scrimmage during a field goal. Players not on the line can't push teammates on the line or into blockers anymore either. This alignment violation will be a 5-yard penalty. And if you push a player at the line of scrimmage during a field goal, the pushing penalty will now be 15 yards for unnecessary roughness. And Mr. Fisher says, well, we had to do this because all of last year there were so many injuries. What the hell are you talking about? There were no injuries during a field goal. If they were, I didn't see them, and they weren't shown on television, and the commentators weren't mentioning it. What injury that field goal line? Or even during a field goal? This is ridiculous. See what I mean? And they have the same problem with these 3 new rules that I just read to you. Especially the last one. That overloading a formation. they don't even know how it's going to be officiated by the referee themselves. Whatever, whatever. This is ridiculous. Oh, my God. What is happening around here? Now, let's get to the bigger story. The big baseball story that you never thought you would hear. You have to hear it to believe it. And if you don't think it's, if you don't think it's true, well, look, if you're in the chat room, there's the link. Click on that link and you'll see that I'm not kidding. Because the Florida Marlins, they want to sue an almost famous guest. Well, like I said at the top of the show, they're not really famous. Still unmatched in poor public relations among all Major League Baseball, the Miami Marlins have threatened a lawsuit against two regular Joe Schmoes, a husband and wife, two season ticket holders who complained the team obstructed their front row view with the billboard. Now, the only way you're going to be able to see this is if you're looking, if you're in the chat room and you click on that link that I just put in. Welcome to all the guests that just popped in the chat room. But you'll see on the picture, I'm reading the actual story, but if you guys look at the top two pictures, about, these are pictures that this husband and wife took with their own personal camera. They say that the team obstructed their front row view with the billboard. The green padding, about 7 inches of it, can be seen by comparing the two photos. Jan and Bill Leon told the Miami New York Times that they paid $25,000 for two seats along the third baseline for the inaugural season at Marlins Park in 2012. But the team put up a billboard mid-season that blocked part of their view and put them in greater danger regarding foul balls. Requests hovered by phone and emails asking the team to move the seats to a new location or to have the billboard shortened, go digital, I mean, went unanswered. The Leons said when the season ended, the Leons informed the Marlins they would not be returning for another year. However, their season ticket agreement is for two seasons, unless their complaints were addressed, and they wouldn't be paying unless the Marlins did. And here's the husband talking. And so they pooped on fans' feelings for years. Actually, the wife, Jan, said. Jan said, those seats are not what we paid for. The part about not paying must have gotten the Marlins' attention, though, very quickly, since they decided to ignore the phone calls and the emails. But once they mentioned that they were not paying, then the Marlins were quick to get back to them. Why did you wait so long? They finally got back to this husband and wife, to the Leon family, on March 8th. They've been filing and making complaints since January. And March 8th, just 2 weeks ago, they finally got back to them? Come on, Marlins, you should know better than that. The Leons got a response, a letter from Derek Jackson, the Marlins vice president and general counsel. He said nothing about the billboard dispute, but he did say the Leons were contractually, listen to this now, if you are a season ticket holder, that means you are contractually, you signed a contract and you're obligated, you must, you have to buy a second season. In other words, this is their way of saying no ifs, ands, or buts about it. However, if they don't pay by later this month, he said, we will reserve the right to pursue any and all appropriate legal and ethical remedies available to us at that time under the premium seat agreement and under the law. Most people are like, ah, that's bullshit. No, the laws and the seat agreement is actually on the back of your ticket. And because this is the first time this has ever happened, the Marlins have also said, through their legal counsel, that furthermore subjectionary to not pay, they said will result in this family going paying plus interest, collection costs, and legal fees, if appropriate, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they've, if you're in the chat room, you see the full letter that was sent to them by the Marlins on behalf of Derek Jackson, who is their legal counsel. It's got the agreement and the letter stating what the law states and what the season ticket holder states. That's typical, though, for owner Jeffrey Lura, who has taken away from fans at every opportunity, whether it's ballpark financing or having a fire sale on the team's best players, or years of not spending money on payroll previously. The contract that the Leons signed, however, does not require them to buy two seasons of Marlins baseball. Oh, boy. And just by looking at the photos, I'm not 100% sure how much their enjoyment of the game was affected by the top 7 inches of the billboard. I don't know. I've never sat in those seats. I've never been able to afford those seats. But it's possible a judge would find the Leons, and I base that mostly on the Marlins usually taking the wrong course of action. However, the Marlins responded with a statement saying that we have offered Ms. Leon numerous opportunities to move to a different seat location, and each time she has refused. But Jan says, if the Marlins are telling the truth, then, well, I never got permission to move to another seat. You guys sent me back to where I was at. So it's one of those kind of stories again. But the bottom line on this story is, if this story does indeed hold up, ladies and gentlemen, then more than likely, well, if this took place in California, the team would automatically lose because judges here in California, they say, well, you heard me read the letter. I mean, they finally answered this family on March 8th after ignoring their emails and phone calls. Then January? If you lived in California and the California judge ruled against the baseball team here, yeah, the team would lose. But because this is in Florida and the Marlins are trying to reciprocate themselves to a different standard than what this family is saying. And yeah, coffee, I don't understand. Who would pay $25,000 to watch baseball? I mean, I don't understand this. But the rule, you do see the letter. If you're in the chat room, you see the letter, and the letter that their legal counsel said about what Florida law states and about what the law says on the back of that ticket. But it's kind of tricky in other states. So it could go both ways. If they end up going to court, and if the judge finds the Leons in contempt of their contract and not paying, then they will lose the case. However, I think Florida by now, I think they did adopt some of the California laws here, which could favor this family, which would cause the team to lose their lawsuit, because they're all the ones that are thinking of filing this lawsuit. So it could go either way. Oh, boy. I don't know what to say there. That's kind of iffy. It just goes to show that, well, if you're a private organization and you have that kind of money, wait a minute, yeah, they do have that kind of money. They might actually lose. Oh, geez. I'm so sorry, Florida Marlins. No, I'm not sorry. I'm not even involved in this. I'm just reading the story. We've got to take a quick break. While I wrap my head around this thing. But you're not going to believe what has happened in the world of sports as far as wrestling is concerned. I mean, the X Division, they changed their weight limit status. And I've got something for all my friends in Germany. And it looked like Sin Cara may be having some more injury problems. Yeah.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hey sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. I want to remind you that, of course, we wake you up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, and immediately following us at 8 a.m. is the hardest working man in sports. That's the Couch Potato. And, of course, his venerable sidekick, Cuervo. Again, after all, we wake you up, and they bring it home. Don't forget to catch them at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, because we are the 4-hour block of sports on Saturday morning on blogtalkradio.com. Sports Talk with the Guys, immediately followed by The Couch Potato. Check them out at blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato.
My soul's laid to rest. What is left of my body? and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick Dirty Seth. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.blogtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. I tell you, I hope you guys are enjoying this crazy rambunctious roller coaster ride I've been taking you guys on. Oh. Well, are you ready? Here we go. I mean, it's about to get more crazier. We had all the crazy stories from the NFL, the NFL owners meeting, just led up to other things about an NFL player talking about another NFL player's man's wife, which you don't ever do. Don't talk about a man's wife like that. That was totally disrespectful. I know a lot of you guys are just coming in here, but if you missed that, you can check out the archive show later on today. We just finished talking about the Florida Marlins, and they might sue two fans that might not, they might be going to court. Let's just leave it at that. Now we're going to get into our second segment here, leading up to wrestling and got WrestleMania to talk about. It's coming up very, very quickly. And also, towards the end of the show, I've got a very special announcement regarding next week's show. yes, that'll be awesome. During Thursday night's Impact Wrestling last night, TNA had announced the following changes to the X Division. They said all matches will now be three-way matches. So anytime you see an X Division match, there's not going to be just two wrestlers now. Now there will be three. Every time there's an X Division match, that's kind of exciting, but on paper it looks pathetic. Every single match will be a three-way match. The other change that they mentioned, you heard them say it last night if you watched the show, that the division will now have a weight limit of only 230 pounds. If you do not meet that weight limit, you will not be in the X Division. However, do you remember going back to the beginning when TNA started in 2002? The X Division was previously founded with the tagline of, "It's not about weight limit, it's about no limits." Did they forget that? Or should I have to personally call up Dixie Carter and tell her about this? Do you remember your TNA slogan for the X Division at that time? Yeah, I'd be lucky your ass is still on TV. Speaking of TV, WWE Superstars is set to return to TV in Germany. Yes, to my friends in Germany, listen close. They're returning to a new channel. The TV channel Pro Cybon Fun, which on the pay TV platforms Entertainment, it's on Telcom and presented by Unity Media. The show makes its debut on the channel on April 5th at 9:45 p.m. And as always, since I can't tell you here, tell my friends in Germany that follow wrestling, check your local listings in the Germany area. David Kreisman, who was a writer on All My Children, and he's been in WWE for about 4 or 5 months. He has been well received thus far by the entire staff. There is further talk of hiring writers with soap opera backgrounds due to their strength in writing weekly episodic television. In addition, Brian Gerwitz has been more involved in creative, but that is specifically in regard to The Rock heading into WrestleMania, as opposed to him returning to a head writer position. At this time, Paul Heyman's contract is only as a performer, and there have been no moves to make him a part of creative, though he does give input to talent who ask for help. Following her recent appearance with TNA for their taped Knockout pay-per-view, remember I told you last week that TNA at the last minute, told us as fans, this is the website we want you to go to. Go to this part. It's a new section we created on TNA.com. Go to TNA.com/, and they gave you the website to promote a Knockouts-only pay-per-view. But remember I said last week that after they had already aired the show, they immediately got on the phone. Remember I said last week that they were calling former Knockouts women's wrestlers and stuff like that, such as cheerleader Melissa, who used to wrestle for them. I know her because she used to wrestle here in California for the independent promotions around here. But they called them up. Remember I said last week that they called them up after the show and all of them turned it down. So since they only have a small core of women that actually agreed to be on this Knockouts one night only pay-per-view, it has been announced that Serena Deeb will be wrestling for Pro Wrestling Syndicate's Bombshell Ladies of Wrestling event on May 11th. The event, which takes place in Meacham, New Jersey, will see her face off with Shelly Martinez. There you go. And even though they haven't officially said goodbye to the Florida Impact Zone, with their lease ending and all their pay-per-view tapings complete, TNA will have the Impact Zone in Florida cleared out by the end of the week. They're taking all the property down that they left inside the building. They're taking all their belongings with them, because you know that they've been saying, we're going on the road now. We're going on the road. TNA is going viral everywhere now. But you know what I would have loved to see them do last night? Since they were in the Florida Impact Zone, and it was the very last time that they were all going to be in that building, why didn't they do a special something for the fans last night in Florida? Because we all saw it on television. They didn't give the building a formal goodbye or anything. They didn't tell the fans that. You didn't inform them, Dixie Carter, that you would not no longer be doing shows in that building. I'm sure you can find other Florida venue buildings to do your shows in, just not this one. Well, whatever. They don't know how to say goodbye, I guess. WWE is looking. Here you go, coffee. This is the job for you. You can take this job. Yeah, right. Just kidding. But WWE is looking for a new vice president of kids marketing entertainment, because WWE wants to promote their product even harder to kids and families. They want new ideas and initiatives to push the product to mothers and their children. WWE wants someone with at least 10 years of experience in children's programming and who is very in tune with pop culture and current trends. Yeah. Nobody's going to take that job, Vince. Come on now. And I've been saying, I want to talk about the buyer. We are the buyers. We watch your shows every week. We watch TNA shows every week. You heard me mention in the NFL segment that these things should not be taken lightly. I guess, you know, too bad that me and Coffee and DDP and Get 52, 42, and all my other friends, too bad we all didn't live in the same state. Because then we could march around to these different cities and start protesting the hell out of all these sports. And make grand, grand, legitimate picket lines. Just have a wall of people standing there. And you know what? We can torment wrestling promoters and people won't come to their shows and we'll get blamed for it. You sons of bitches! You ruined my show! Nobody came to my independent show tonight. Nobody came to our NFL show. We had it on TV, but just, there was nobody to show off to. Just the television world. Because you guys ruined us. Well, good. We're the buyers anyway. We're the ones paying your paychecks. There has to be some remedy or some kind of fair play. Let's say it like that. Anyways, I'll worry about that in a second. Sin Cara recently suffered a serious concussion, likely during his match with Jack Swagger on the March 11th episode of Raw. He was evaluated during the March 18th show this past Monday and had impact concussion testing. He missed all of last weekend's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday events, and he did not work Tuesday's SmackDown tapings either. I am telling you. This just goes to show that, hey, you know, we have to look forward to everything now because, as we, like I said, we are heading towards WrestleMania. That is the goal. That is the most bona fide event in the world that everybody knows about. But despite Vince McMahon and others keep promoting and saying, WrestleMania is the only pay-per-view where we give you what you want. Well, since the last three WrestleManias in the last 3 years, and 2 years before that, no, you didn't. You didn't give the fans what they wanted. You deprived the older generation, people such as myself, in their 20s and early 30s. I'm getting to my early 30s. I'm going to start my 30 stages in 2 weeks. It's all Coffee's fault. I'm just kidding. What about us? What about us, Vince? TNA is trying to give us, you know, that alternative edge to Vince McMahon's product. It's like I said, what they should just do anyways, since they have the Wednesday night main event show on ION television and the Saturday morning slam, those two shows, I've seen those shows. For all, most of last year, I saw those shows. And you know what? Those two shows combined could strictly be for kids. It already is anyways. And like I said, last week I said that Monday Night Raw and on Friday Night SmackDown, everybody's been getting away with doing something so explicit and so irrational. And then on top of that, they're cussing and Vince McMahon is not, you know, what's the word for it? He's not chastising them. He's not ridiculing them, saying, damn it, we're a PG product. We can't cuss anymore. He's not doing that at all. He's in fact letting them get away with it. So why is it a problem to go with my idea? Have the Monday and Friday show, Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown. They're already the adult entertainment prodigy anyways. and have the Wednesday night show and the Saturday morning show. Those shows are children's shows anyway. You can do it. I mean, hell, the Saturday morning show, I only seen 3 episodes of that, I know, but out of those 3 episodes, every week, it seems like they're doing cartoon versions of you know, all the boys, Sheamus and Wade Barrett. If you can cater to that with cartoon, you know, drawings of them and put them in a cartoon epidemic in a 30-minute show on Saturday morning, then why can't you do that for us older generation people who that want to see the chaos and the violence? Anyways, I mean, because look at this. This past Monday Night Raw, they had Darren Young taking on John Cena. Cena abruptly won. Ryback versus David Otunga. Ryback wins. You heard me mention that they've already admitted, they publicly admitted that they have ruined the Fandangle character. I know he'll probably rib me out too because I didn't say his name right, but whatever. You know, last night I was once again talking with my good friend Craig Brooks to all my pals in the group. What's up, group people? Everywhere. But we had said, well, Craig said that this is the most stupidest thing they could ever do. And I said, yes. Because I had reminded my good friend Craig Brooks, who is listening to us as well. He's not in the chat room, but he's listening to us. Where I said that, you know, they're supposed to trademark this stuff, and they don't want to get sued by anybody. Because back in the old days, when Steve Austin first came to Vince McMahon and Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe and said, I got it. I know what I want my name to be. I don't want to be Steve Williams or the Ringmaster or any of these other stupid nicknames you gave me. I got the name. And they said, what? He said, I want to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. How did that sound? And he already had the attitude before this, before he made his official debut in Stone Cold Steve Austin on television. They were at Vince McMahon's house doing this. So he's like, well, you know, come to Stamford, Connecticut tomorrow, and we'll check things out then. So here Steve Austin is flying to Stamford, Connecticut via Vince McMahon, who's paying for the airfare anyways. And he's like, I think we can do it. The following Monday on Raw, you know, Gerald Briscoe's in the back, and he goes, go see Pat Patterson. So Steve goes, and he sees Pat Patterson. He says, so, I heard you want to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's the name you want, huh? You really want that long name. He said, well, yeah, why not? Vince thinks it's good. He said, well, if Vince says it's okay, but first let me check. I have to go to the back and run a check on it. I have to make sure it's not copyrighted. We don't want to get sued. He said, fine, do whatever you got to do. Let me know. So Steve's waiting around. Pat Patterson comes back, along with Vince McMahon and Gerald Briscoe. Gerald said, you're cleared. Steve's like, what? Pat Patterson said, you're okay. You can be Stone Cold Steve Austin. The name is not trademarked or anything. So you see, they're always checking because they don't want to get sued by anybody. Yet they create this Fandango character. Vince McMahon knows damn well that there's a company called Fandango. I don't know how many times you guys see Fandango commercials, but I sure see them a hell of a lot here in California. Because they want you to go to their website and get movie tickets from their website rather than going to the actual theater. Just print your tickets at home. You can do it with Fandango.com. Now, I've reached out to Fandango about this and have gotten no reply. I think this is the way of saying that they don't actually want to deal with this. And I think that Fandango, the company, prefer that, since WWE has already admitted that they know that they screwed up the Fandango character, that he should have never been created, that they should have thought about it more. This was on a two-night spree in Delaware, Tennessee. The following Monday, 2 weeks ago, that's when he made his debut. The moment he made his debut, and the moment he started talking on the microphone, Vince said, oh, shit. Pat Patterson, yeah. Pat Patterson, we fucked up. We didn't actually have him do the promo. We should have promo-tested him before we threw him on television. But someone's as bad as what I mentioned about the NFL doctors not doing background checks on their own guys. Vince didn't actually do a background check on him. I mean, you know that these guys go to promo class before they get on television anyways. What exception does this guy have that nobody else has on the roster? I mean, that's bullshit. I mean, seriously, I may be laughing, but it's true. That would be like me telling Coffee and Guest 52, 42 that, well, this new guy, DDP, you know, he's going to wrestle. We're going to have a triple threat match. Fans love triple threat, so I want to make them happy. And let's say that Coffee and Guest 52 say that, well, what's he look like? What does he sound like? Well, I don't know. Coffee would be like, and I know Coffee. Coffee would be pissed. He's like, what do you mean you don't know? What the hell's wrong with you? You're the damn promoter. You should know what he looked like. No, that's the thing. I actually haven't been making him go to promo class. I've been letting him slide. He's a new hot young commodity, and I'm just going to let him do whatever. I know, that sounds commoderate. It sounds imperative, because it is. As we welcome Josh Witt, or however you say your name, welcome to the chat room. And let's say that Coffee and Guest 52 are going to look at each other and go, no, we're basically wrestling blindfolded with a guy that we don't even know. That's what happened with this Fandango character that WWE created. The minute he started cutting his promo on Jack Swagger and to Matt Stryker, they said, oh, crap. He sounds terrible. Why did we create him? Of course. Because you didn't let him go to promo class, you stupid asses. I tell you, it's crazy. And I don't know. I don't understand why they would do this when, I mean, you're supposed to be getting ready for WrestleMania and then you go and do this. And anyways, you know, like I said, they have screwed up his character because now they don't even want him wrestling. So that's why they're not having him wrestle. Because they're trying to think of a quick way to, some way to get Fandango off of television. Well, that's going to be hard to do. You're going to eventually have to put him in a match. Just have him wrestle Mark Henry. Put him in the Hall of Fame and then tell the world that he's been seriously, seriously injured. And he might never come back. Actually, you're going to have to write that down for Michael Cole. Because right after the R-Truth versus Damian Sandow match, actually during this match, R-Truth versus Damian Sandow, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler were talking about WrestleMania and talking about Jack Swagger. And Michael Cole says, yeah, that's going to be our event for May, our pay-per-view in May. I said, what the hell is he talking about? And it's crazy. telling you. All right, looks like we're about to have a caller who thought we were being pre-recorded. No, this is the live show. We are live. Live, baby, I tell you. Let's just quickly get through this. Primo and Epico took on Kane and Daniel Bryan. Of course, AJ. She came out skipping again. I love the skipping by AJ. But that didn't distract Kane and Daniel. They were, well, Kane more than Daniel. Kane is still pissed off about, you know, losing Paul Bearer in real life and in storyline terms, since they made a story about it now. Cody Rhodes and Alberto Del Rio. Alberto won. And Kofi taking on Dolph Ziggler. If Kofi looked kind of weird to you, the way he was wrestling, the way he was responding to the crowd, that's because they're thinking of a way they might make Kofi heel. Yeah. And the other stupid thing about what I just said 5 minutes ago about Michael Cole talking about the May pay-per-view, when Dolph Ziggler was wrestling, Jerry Lawler said, hey, so when is Dolph Ziggler gonna cash in this Money in the Bank briefcase? He's had it for a long, long time. And Michael Cole said, oh, well, he'll do it at the May pay-per-view. Yeah. Or maybe SummerSlam. This is why I have a problem with them saying that they're live. They're not live. They're taped. You heard me mention it during the wrestling news that SmackDown is taped on Tuesdays, but the announcers say that it's Friday when it's not. Michael Cole didn't even have the notes in front of him. How in the blue hell would Ziggler be able to hold the Money in the Bank briefcase until a May pay-per-view or July at SummerSlam, when you've already been telling the world for the past 5 years that, oh, well, with this new concept, you can hold the Money in the Bank briefcase up until 1 year. You have until WrestleMania to make a decision who you will wrestle. Michael Cole, you really are a fucking idiot. As I prepare to bring this caller on.
Hello?
Josh, how you doing?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
You know, I'm glad that they removed wrestling from the Olympics. Because, like, really, what is it? It's just a bunch of guys dancing with each other, getting on top of each other, trying to knock each other out. Not even knock each other out, trying to asphyxiate themselves, sleep or something. And that's not a man's sport, wrestling. I mean, put in some UFC in there. I want to see some blood.
Yeah, I think UFC is the only place you're going to see blood there, pal.
I mean, wrestling, to me, is just gay. Literally. Men dancing around the top of each other. What's so appealing about it? And it's an Olympic sport, apparently. U.S. and Iran teamed up to try to bring back wrestling. It's funny, two countries fighting against each other, trying to bring back fighting against each other without actually killing each other.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about that.
You like wrestling?
Yeah, the TV version, not the Olympic stuff. I don't really care for the Olympics. I never really watched it.
Wrestling TV shows are just like drama realities. It's like watching 16 pregnant male version.
Like, yeah, they just have to get better storylines in. That's what they really need to do.
They need to start throwing in some punches. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they don't want that to happen anytime soon.
Come on.
I'm sure you heard me mention that they're more and more trying to market to just kids now.
Wrestling?
Yeah.
No, come on. Give them some boxing gloves, do some MMA, teach them when they're young.
Yeah, really.
Kids ain't going to toughen up the wrestling. What are they going to do if someone tries to rob them? Start jumping on top of them? Come on. Boxing, mixed martial arts, you'll knock that guy's face in a matter of seconds, knife or gun. Wrestling, you're going to jump on top of him? Suffocate him? Like, come on, there's a big difference here. But
yeah, well, I'm sure you heard of a guy by the name of New Jack who actually was a wrestler, but he actually would sometimes he'd stab people to literally try and kill them in the ring.
Well, that's one way to win.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Put some spike gloves on. Put some spikes on your boxing gloves while you're at it.
Yeah, but you know, there's no real truth to boxing, anyway. I mean, we all remember the Mike Tyson Evander Holyfield incident, biting somebody's ear off.
You trying to pull Van Gogh there? Now, yep. Do you play any sports yourself?
No, not at the time, but no, I would like to get back into it.
Yeah, I don't play sports. I ain't got no time for that. Like, who does have time for sports nowadays? Same with the gyms and all that crap.
Oh, don't even get me started. Gym membership.
I mean, these people drive like 15, 20 minutes to the gym to go on a stationary bicycle. What the hell's the logic in that? I mean, why don't you just bike? You want to exercise, go bike, go jog, do some push-ups, you know. You want to become a workout freak, join the military. They'll give you plenty of workout for free. I mean, you know, these people are so into their, you know, fitness and that. It's like, yeah, how's your day job going? You seem to be working out at the gym a lot. How are you affording to pay that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, I'm here in California, and most of my friends are like me. We're all there's seven of us that are unemployed, and people are like, our other friends are saying, go to the gym, and we're like, you going to pay for us? We don't got no money.
I'm from Canada. I get my workout from shoveling snow.
Ah, nice.
And there is a lot of it. I mean, it's spring, and it's still cold as hell shit. But other than that, though,
I know my friend in Chicago. My friend in Chicago probably still has snow. What about you, Coffee? You got snow, probably. I think you told me you do. Yeah, I heard shoveling snow is no fun.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten so used to it now. Like -10°C, I'll be outside with my T-shirt and just shoveling away. You know, it doesn't make a difference once you get so used to it. But, you know, on towards the whole wrestling ban thing, I don't see a great loss. Like, it was one of the most underrated, underviewed sports in the Olympics. I mean, they had a lot of other original things in there. Some were not even sports. But, you know, you got to make changes.
Yeah.
Trends.
They got rid of it because it wouldn't just... basically amateur style wrestling. It wasn't, you know, that's what they called it.
I think UFC and that would be too violent for Olympics. I mean, people seeing each other beating the crap out of each other to the point they get knocked out cold, bleeding on the floor. Don't think that's appealing for some people. Yeah. It's not a favorite thing to see, no, but It's a really man sport, kind of like how they tried banning the hockey fights. And I laughed at that. You will not be able to get rid of the aggression in hockey. People, even if people in the NHL were to lose their whole contract over a fight, they'll still kick the shit out of each other. Because the aggression will always be there in hockey. And same with, I don't watch football. Is there any football fights?
Sometimes they're in.
Yeah, I don't see much as those as much as seeing hockey. I mean, when they go at it, they go at it, and it's just like UFC on ice.
Yeah, well, it's been happening lately in sports. I mean, just last week, you know, I talked about it here on the show that last Wednesday that during one of the NBA games, I was at my dad's house watching the game there, and a player just claimed that he accidentally shoved another player from a different team down, and this big, you know, famous NBA player got up and he just turned and clocked him, and they started fighting right there in the middle of the game. And
I remember that one time. Who was it? Who's that guy? Muhammad Ali? Was it the famous boxer? Yeah, I think he's the famous boxer. He was trying to smart mouth one of the...
Oh. Josh? Oh, looks like we lost you there, pal. Dang. I don't know. Excuse me. All right, you're back now, Josh. I can hear you. There's something over there.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, how far, when did you last disconnect? Like, what part was that?
You were talking about Muhammad Ali.
Yes. The sarcastic boxer. Now, his main method was to tire and mock his opponents. Like, he would circle around them, making remarks to them, and him trying to challenge an Olympic wrestler, it didn't work out so well. I mean, if I can bring up the original YouTube video, Muhammad Ali versus a wrestler here, he got his ass kicked. Like, the wrestler absolutely just laughed at him. This is wrestler. And I had to laugh myself. I mean, come on, you think you're so on the top. You think you're king until you face somebody that's way stronger than you. You got to let your sarcasm, your cockiness get down before you get downed. I can't find the original video, but, you know, it's on there somewhere of him fighting a big-ass wrestler. Didn't stand a chance. You know, that's to do with all sports. Once you get aggressive, once you think you're on top of the world, you're going to get knocked down.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and like I said, everybody's been doing it now. I mean, for a while, everybody said, well, baseball players have said, well, we don't do that here. But by 1993, they started having their own fights too, so... Everybody does it now, so.
Oh, yeah, it's like, hey, we can do this now. It's all right. You know, we saw this guy doing it. F you, let's fight, this and that. And, you know, the aggression's going to be everywhere, on games, on TV, in real life. Yeah, I find it rather entertaining, really. People that talk all this shit, but the minute you see them, they're just like rabbits. Scurry right away. And, you know, that's just part of everything. Sports, TV, reality.
Yeah, I did.
I'm going to let you go now. I'm going to continue listening on. I got to get going soon. Hitting the town.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Thanks for the call.
All right. Glad to talk.
All right. Take care.
Hey, you too.
All right. Thank you for that call, Josh. That was very awesome. Talking about a few different things there. See what I mean? You never know what's going to happen on this show, but back to our main topic. There has to be, you know, and Raw, Monday Night Raw came to an end. We saw that Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman and Triple H were trying to cohort Triple H. And even though it's a no-holds-barred match, now we know what the stipulation is. You know, the original plan for this, for them, was to have Shawn Michaels come back and be in Triple H's corner. And then the writers were like, well, then if we do that, we'll put Paul Heyman in Brock Lesnar's corner. Yeah, we can do that. But then they realized, well, no, because this match is strictly only about Brock Lesnar and Triple H because it's so personal. And it would make no sense to have Paul Heyman in Brock Lesnar's corner and Shawn Michaels in Triple H's corner. Because then they would both have to get involved physically, literally, and mentally. And there's no storyline purpose for that. That's why it's now just no holds barred match. Anything goes at WrestleMania. But like before Josh called in, I'm still very, very confused. I hope that Michael Cole got corrected after his little statement during the Dolph Ziggler match when he said, you know, I can't wait until Dolph Ziggler catches in the Money in the Bank at the May pay-per-view. And I said, May? You've been holding on to that Money in the Bank briefcase longer than 1 year. It's time for him to give it up, and we know it's going to happen. I think Michael Cole just made a mistake. That's all it was. But if he didn't make a mistake, Vince McMahon, the world is going to look at you. And I'll be damned and happy if, you know, some people, like, who knows what could happen. They're having a house show tomorrow night, and they've got Raw on Monday. I would be surprised if more than half people for tomorrow night's house show and Monday Night Raw coming this Monday, if they call back the arena in their local town and say, I want my money back. This is bullshit. Talking about you want Jack Swagger to hold on to the Money in the Bank briefcase, which makes no sense. Until June? No, that's just bullshit. And you would have to give them their money back because they are the buyer. We're the buyers. We buy everything, right? Everything costs money. I just can't believe that the price of milk here in California went up just last month. The California legislature decided to move it up to $3.99 a gallon. Give me a break. Speaking of that, yeah, I'll give us all a break. We're going to take our final commercial break. When we come back, Impact Wrestling.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hi folks, I'm Roger Noriega from NDB Media. Just want to give you a taste of our schedule. All times are Pacific, Sunday at 2:30 p.m., ADD Tangent, Rave at 6, DJ and Eli in the evening at 8, this week on NDB Media at 9, on Monday, 6:30 a.m., Fantasy Extra, then at 4 p.m., D-Space Jeff, 8 p.m., Sports Talk with the Guys, Weekend Edition, on Tuesday, 6 p.m., The Five Tools Show. At 7, Tuesday Night America. At 8, Fandom Access. On Wednesday at 9 a.m., Bertone Beatles Bonanza. At 4, A Gal for All Seasons. 5, Tri-State Sports Guys. On the first Wednesday, Comics 101. On the last Wednesday, Eclectic Offerings. On Thursday at 4 p.m., twice a week, Classic Trek with Sam and Dave. 5 p.m., Travelitch Radio. At 7 p.m., Edge of Reality. Friday, 6:30 a.m., Fantasy Extra. 1 p.m., Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez. Raise Your Glass is on at 5. Your Mental Health Radio is on at 6. On Saturday, Sports Talk with the Guys Extravaganza. And then Runaway Mind on the third Saturday. Lots of stuff going on. NDBmedia.net, twitter.com/NDBmedia.
Mike, come on!
Mike, what is your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby!
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Mike!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Oh, man. Wow. It's been a crazy, crazy, crazy show. I hope that this has been one hell of a roller coaster ride for you guys today. You got 20 minutes left of the program. This is just now coming in, just now on, you know, off of TMZ.com. It had just been reported that Paul Bearer's real-life son, no, not Kane and not The Undertaker, his two real sons were the ones who signed off on the story angle from Raw a few weeks back when CM Punk interrupted The Undertaker's tribute and disrespected The Urn. Paul's real-life son, Michael Moody, tells TMZ that WWE Creative approached him and the rest of the family for permission before the angle went down on national TV and the family approved of it. Michael told TMZ, "We felt that Dad would have wanted us at Raw last week and agreed to the angle. We knew Dad wouldn't have wanted it any other way." Well, so that's how the story got in there. I was, you know, usually with stuff like that, you have to have family permission. And, yeah, they did. They did. Anyway, let's get back into this here. Rolling along, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you. I'm not sure what the possibilities or the impossibilities about WrestleMania are. But I can tell you one thing. TNA, you know, Impact Wrestling is getting ready for their lockdown pay-per-view. They're getting ready for their own wrestling tormentee of all that. I know that it's going to take place in Houston, Texas. I know DDP told me 2 weeks ago he won't be able to go. Even though DDP in the chat room lives in Texas, that it's just too far. That's not the part of Texas he lives in. DDP, I got it. Hey, Coffee, do me a favor. Why don't we steal, that's right, I said steal, Vince McMahon's private jet. You, Coffee, you have a pilot's license. You told me that, right? Yeah. You can fly the jet to DDP's house, pick him up, and take him to the event. Yeah. The idea that I come up with. So, anyway. The Impact Wrestling Tag Team Championship Tag Team Title Match, Bobby Roode and Austin Aries had to team up against Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. And, well, Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, they cheat to win. That's typical in the wrestling business. The X Division title match, Kenny King versus Zema Ion versus Sanjay Dutt. Man, was this match out of control. I mean, they went everywhere with this match. And even when Zema Ion took that stinger flash right to the outside guardrail, oh, man. Woo! Kenny King took an even crazier dive and almost fell off the stage. That the stage in the cohort next to the ring, if you watch Impact Wrestling, you know what I'm talking about. Because his leg was slumped over. It took a vicious aerial attack assault from Sanjay Dutt, and he almost went off the stage, and that would have been terrible. But Kenny King, he was somehow recuperated and was able to push his leg back before, because he felt that he was falling off, so he was smart enough to quickly push himself back fully onto the stage before he actually did fall like 10 feet. I know you might be saying, oh, that's just 10 feet. The stage is not even that far off the ground, but hey, 10 feet? You can injure yourself pretty badly in 10 feet. Trust me, I've done it before on my 10-speed bike. I've told the story on my original channel. Now I'm going to tell it here on this channel, which is not my channel. The channel is owned by the Sports Talk with the Guys crew. I was 10 years old. Me and my buddies had built a ramp, and I had decided to gun it. I was trying to be like, you know, one of the BMX bikers that I'd seen on TV. Because I saw Matt Hoffman a week before do this backflip off of his bike, and he still landed perfectly. Problem was, I didn't have pros to help me land perfectly. But being the stupid 10-year-old kid that I was, I'm like, get out of the way. I can land this. My mom didn't know. She didn't know what the hell we were doing. She just told us, go outside and go ahead and go play. So we did. And I normally, all day long, I kept driving the bike off this homemade ramp that we had made, me and my friends made. I had only been setting, you know, landing the bike, putting the bike 5 feet from where the ramp was at. That way I could safely jump and safely land. About the, you know, 100th time, I guess you could say. Let's just say that for reference. I'm like, I'm going to go down there to where the red light is. And then I'm going to come and do the Matt Hoffman jump. All my friends and my two brothers were like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. All right. I came full speed off that little mini ramp that we made. My bike had flipped out from under me. Coffee's going to think this is funny. So it's DDP, I know. Everybody, go ahead, laugh. Stop laughing now before I even actually tell the actual story. The bike flipped out from under me, my little 10-speed bike. My body goes in a spiral effect twice. And then my back, I land on my back. Right on the concrete floor. Nothing there to break my fall. Luckily, I didn't crack my head open. Luckily, I was too scared to leave my head open, so that's the only way I protected my head. But I did fall on my back, and I was like, and I heard my back go, I'm like, ah! Oh, jeez. Oh, that hurt. Oh. Because, hey, this was back in 1993, okay? Helmet laws were not enforced. Actually, helmets didn't even exist in 1993. At least here in California, they didn't. Damn it. Now they do. But my mom, she was cooking dinner at the time. It was almost dinner time. It was like it is now. It was springtime. Daylight was still out. But it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Beautiful, beautiful weather like I have now outside my window. And she heard the bike crash and everything, but she didn't see anything. She hadn't known. She just thought, well, maybe, you know. And she caught me and my friends before where they're like, well, we would do these stupid things. We would pretend that the bike was a wrestler so we could beat the hell out of it and just kick it and stomp it. She's like, you guys be careful out there. Don't be too rough. That was already after I had fallen. I'm still on the floor. She didn't know what's going on. Yeah. My mom never found out about that story. But now that it's been a few years since she passed away, she's probably listening to me now. Sorry, Mom. I should have told you when you were alive. Oh, well. But, yeah, Kenny King, he almost fell off that stage. That would have been terrible. 10 feet is a pretty high fleet to fall from. But anyway, speaking of falling, it's like falling from grace. Now that we know that Matt Morgan is not going to be a part of Team TNA. Just want nothing to do with Hulk Hogan. So Hogan decides to set him up in a match then. Matt Morgan versus Joseph Park. Matt Morgan, of course, wins. AJ Styles finally returned, but he didn't talk. He didn't give anybody at all answers to why he blasted James Storm at the end of last week. He just clotheslined him for no reason. Sure, it was cool that he took out Frankie Varian and Christopher Daniels last week, but why James Storm? And James Storm said, be a man. Be a man. Let's handle this like men. Yeah, he didn't want no part of that, and he left. I was ready for a fight, but we didn't get it. Samoa Joe took on Brodus Magnus with Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy. It was a number one contenders match. You know, and I had to believe it for myself when my good friend Craig called me last night, and he said, have you seen Impact? I said, I was just about to get on YouTube and watch it right now. He's like, well, I won't ruin it for you then. I'll just say that things were said that normally you wouldn't say. Because when Aces and Eights came out, and Bully Ray had said that he was happy that everybody was, you know, caught off guard, that they didn't know that Bubba Ray was the one behind Aces and Eights the whole time, in storyline terms. You know, D-Von grabbed the microphone and he said, hey, this isn't our fault. You people made us like this, and we're going to be the most unstoppable force. We're going to be better than everybody else. We're even going to be better than the Nexus, who had the stupid slogan of, and he went on to berate the WWE contention scenes when they had the Nexus. And then right then and there, and I understood what my friend Craig Brooks had told me. When he said, watch what they start blasting. Because he kind of told me a little secret that they were going to blast the NWO. But I didn't expect D-Von Dudley to blast what he did. And the writers, they feel some worth because they know that they're not going to get backlash for it. Because WCW is not around to throw a lawsuit in their face or anything like that. Because then D-Von said, we're even going to be around a whole hell of a lot longer than the damn retarded NWO. And I said, What? You're blasting the NWO. Wow. See what I mean? I'm trying to take you guys on a long roller coaster as long as I can, even though we're almost out of time here. Oh, Coffee said, well, at least you didn't get seriously hurt off your bike. Coffee said that he fell out of a tree as a kid with a hatchet in his hand. What were you doing with a hatchet in your hand anyway? He said, good times. I fell out of the tree, but I didn't get hurt. Yeah. Well, that's most of us there, pal. And Coffee went on to further say, well, the Dudleys without Spike TV are irrelevant. Yeah, that's true. That's so true. But it's just D-Von and Bubba Ray. No more Spike Dudley. No more Little Spike or whatever the hell you wanted to call him. Oh, man. I tell you. But these are things that have happened. The writers for both WWE and TNA feel that it's okay to cheat the fans out of what they're actually paying for. Remember how I read you the letter of the lady dealing with the Florida Marlins? Now she said they didn't give her the pleasurative opportunities to move to another seat. Well, it's kind of the same thing right now with wrestling. Vince McMahon and TNA, both companies, WWE and TNA, we want more. Otherwise, we're going to turn the channel. And they said, well, here it is. Here's our show, Down and Dirty. This is what you paid for. No, we didn't pay to see this PG crap that WWE is producing. Look, don't get me wrong. I like kids. I like helping kids. But the productivity, it's not working anymore. That's why I said you might as well, and with all the cussing and vulgar sexual activity that they're doing, literally, on Monday Night Raw and on Friday Night SmackDown, you might as well go back to TV 14. And to Dixie Carter and the Impact Wrestling roster, you guys are just as bad as Vince McMahon. You're a TV 14 product, which we like, but the feeling of bewilderment is kind of eating us alive, because we are the buyers, yet you're giving us, basically, it's like getting a bad meal. Now, to illustrate this better, how many of you have actually been? I know, I'm pretty sure Coffey and DDP can say with dire, you know, boldness that, yeah, I've been to a restaurant and they got my order wrong, or they put something in my order that I did not want in my order. That's not what I paid for. It's the same thing. It's the same principle. People don't go to your shows just to go to them. They go because they're getting, they want a protective-based scenario that represents what the show is trying to do. And in terms of storylines, like with this Aces and Eights thing, all it's doing is bringing out former WWE and real-life WCW, because WCW is no longer in business. They went out of business back in 2001. We all know that. But that's all they're pulling out of the hat. Now, don't get me wrong. The Aces and Eights thing, it's kind of cool. And, you know, I'm kind of behind it and kind of not. Let's just say I'm conservative about it. And with it being like that, well, where do you go from there? WrestleMania is just a few weeks away. And Vince McMahon's writers, the writers don't even have a spreadsheet yet. They don't even have a graph down. They don't even have the list of who's wrestling who yet. Because they're too worried about Impact Wrestling and trying to copy them. Don't worry about them. You worry about your own company, Vince. That's why they're in the shithole that they're in, to constantly, constantly do the one thing they've been doing ever since October. Which is, wait, I gotta write this down. Wait, you're adding a match? Yeah, I'm adding a match. 5 minutes before the show. How are you able to add a match 5 minutes before the show goes on TV? I got permission. Who'd you get permission from? I got permission from Vince McMahon. Oh, okay, well, go ahead. There has to be change. It has to relate to us. We are the buyer. You're the performer. Vince McMahon, Dixie Carter, you better have this right by next week. Otherwise, I'll come back with something wild. Our special announcement is, come back next week. Let's just say we have an early birthday bash. Take care, and I'll see you all next week. Peace!
Getting to the top rope, and he did it! Frog splash! Come on! Get it! Do it! Two! Yes! It's champion!
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so now what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You believe that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.